Simple thought. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Hey, I'm not making light of your troubles today. We all have them. We understand that. But hey, there's a brighter day coming. Amen. And you know how it is. They sing that song, some of them above the clouds. You've been just like I have. You've been in an airplane, and we're flying overseas, and you see those storms and lightning flashing. That pilot will raise that thing on up, and you get on the other side. You know what? The sun's shining on top of that thing, right? And that's how it is. There's another side. But let's we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Have you ever been perplexed? I've been. It's one of them head scratchers. Lord, what in the world is going on here? Perplexed is a puzzled. I don't know what you're doing here, Lord. But being perplexed is to be confused or puzzled. But despair means hopeless. Hey, a Christian should never be hopeless. Amen? Never be hopeless. I may be confused. I may not understand what God's doing here. I may not understand the why. And probably it's not important that I do at this time. But I have to realize that I am never hopeless as a child of God. Let's look at a text to remind us of that. The ladies just sang about it. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The glorious resurrection of our Savior there. Luke chapter 24. You're talking about a perplexing day. These folks had loved their Lord and followed Him, and now they've been crucified, and oh no, what do we do? And now we're going to the grave to anoint our dead God, and although He's not there. Now early, Luke 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They came prepared and planned to worship and to anoint this dead Jesus. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed. What do you mean? Where's the body of Jesus? He's not here. They're confused. This is a confusing situation. Well, what do we do? He's not here. But here's these angels speaking to them. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? What are you doing? Why are you looking for a dead God? Why are you looking for Him? He's not here, verse 6, but He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. They said, did you not remember? Were you not listening to the lesson? Say, I've been there before. Did it not go through my thick head? I see it all the time with my kids, but I recognize that's the way the Lord is with me. Didn't you listen? Didn't I tell you what to do? But I love verse 8, and they remembered His words. Oh yeah, that's why He's not there. Sometimes in life we find some perplexing situations. And very, very easily could have been hopeless. But Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. In this Christian life, sometimes we'll face some things that are very perplexing. Just like these folks, they were much perplexed. We really can't understand, Lord, what's happening here and what's going on. But we recognize that, hey, we don't have to be in despair. We just need to remember His words, amen? We need to go back to the book and say, hey, of course He's not in here. He told you He was going to raise again after 3 days. He told you as Jonas was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, He'd rise again. All of a sudden, they got the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to tell us, right? And now it all made sense that this Jesus was alive. He was, the apostle said, we were perplexed, but not in despair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Thank God that there's some things that we are, but there's some things that we're not. Amen. We're troubled, but not distressed. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9 says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Good tonight. Hey, persecution in this life. The more and more the days go, it seems like the more and more we might get an opportunity for those things. I pray we don't. I'm praying we're going to get out of here soon. But, you know, if we don't, maybe we face a little persecution. That's being harassed, right? Harassed, the 1828 says, harassed by troubles or punishments, unjustly afflicted, particularly for religious opinions. Yeah? Some of us have faced a little of that on a small degree. You go somewhere and proclaim the name of Jesus, you'll find out real quickly a lot of folks aren't too interested in that. You can talk about God all you want to because they don't know which God. But when you start bringing Jesus in there, oh no, don't bring Him up, because when He shows up, dead stuff comes alive, or either things get in trouble quick. And so, but we're talking about being persecuted, and I've never faced any of that. But you know, Apostle Paul had. Hey, he could write the book on it. As a matter of fact, he wrote a few of them, didn't he? And he'd been persecuted, but he said, hey, in all that persecution, we've not been forsaken. Amen? Forsaken means to be deserted or left And if you read any reading, you read about some of these Christians who have faced those things, you recognize that Hebrews is very true, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, as He has said. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. And we find that, even though we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. That's what the Apostle said. You know, we see that in the children of Israel, in their plight there in Egypt in Exodus chapter 2. You know, they've been there in this place and sleeping as slaves and thought maybe they'd even forgotten. Maybe God had even forgotten about them. Sometimes you ever get like that, you wouldn't admit it, would you? Oh, Lord, does He even know where I'm at? Does God even know where Pope Mississippi is? Yeah, I believe He does.
Amen.
I've seen Him, met Him there a few times. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time. Some things just take a process of time. Amen. Take some time. That the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by the reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, and with Isaac, and with Jacob. They were persecuted, but not forsaken. The Bible said they began to cry. You know what? God heard their cry. You notice what He said there? God remembered His covenant. God knew where they were. He's the one who put them there. Right? He's the one who told them to go there. He's the one that prepared the whole plan and sent Joseph so they'd have a place to be. All this was part of the plan of God and that He used in their life. And when they got to this place of being persecuted, they recognized that they weren't forsaken. Although they thought they were all alone and it'd never get out of there and it'd never be any different. How many times we say this? It seems like things will never change, but the truth is that they always change it. And all of a sudden they recognized in all this that God was there and He was interested in them and He heard and God remembered His covenant. You know, sometimes when we get in a place like that and we feel like maybe we're dealing with a little persecution in our lives, maybe we just need to stand on the promises of God. Amen. You know, God remembered His covenant. It would have done them good if they'd have remembered God's covenant. Amen. And they could say, hey, Lord, hey, don't you remember us? Hey, don't you? And He said, yeah, I remember you. I know what I told you. You know what? He keeps every promise in the Word of God. And He said, hey, He told us to expect it over in John chapter 15. Didn't He say, if they persecute me, hey, they're going to persecute you. Folks, it's probably coming. We're going to get in on a little of that. But as He said, as I said already in Hebrews chapter 13, didn't He say, as He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, we may be persecuted, Paul said, but never forsaken. Amen. I don't know what you and I will face or what some of you have. But I know that you didn't face it alone. Amen. I know some little moments in our lives, little problems, little trials, sick children, hospital visits, those kind of things. I found Him to be very present in those times. When I finally got to the end of myself and done everything I could do and tried everything I could try and finally said, oh Lord, where are you at? He was right there all along, you know. You know, when I looked around and couldn't find the preacher, even thank God for mine, or I couldn't find anybody, I thought I could find Him. You know, He was standing there with me. And I recognized, oh Lord, this is a hard time, but you know what? It sure is good when He meets you. Amen. You know, I can just go back. My mind goes to these stories. Brother Grady was telling about his wife. You know, the little troubles we've had with children and things, sick, and how, man, it's so good when God meets you with you there. It's so good when you come out and the Lord is so present. And I recognize that, hey, I'm not alone. Amen. You know, we've all said it and told the illustration. But I remember we were in Alaska one time and we were on the Yukon River camping out, sleeping in tents. I might have told some of y'all young people, I'm sure. And we were sleeping in tents and the good guy that was with us, he was sure to let us know before we went to bed that this was the most heavily populated island in Alaska of grizzly bears. So, well, thank you, brother. That helps a guy get a good night's sleep. Amen. And here I am laying in this sleeping bag, looking like a big burrito, you know, rolled up, waiting for a bear to come by. And you know, there's bear tracks everywhere. First we go stop on the side of the river over here. Brother Joe's been in on some of that bear action, I know, in Alaska. But first we go camp on the side and there's bear tracks everywhere. And my dad's with us and he's when he's redneck too, right? He's thinking, he said, brother, what's wrong with that island out there in the middle of the river? Does that flood? He said, no, it doesn't. He said, why don't we sleep out there tonight? He said, at least we'll hear them coming if they come to us. So anyways, I remember sleeping out there on that river that night. And you know, we've all said it, but I thought to myself, Lord, you know what? I'm tired. I could lay here all night and worry about getting ate by a bear. Or I could remember the verse, the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, right? I said, Lord, how about you just watch tonight and I'll just go to bed. Yeah. And I slept good too, that night. And you know, and we go through story after story, different places the Lord allows you to be and how you found it in those moments, in those places. And that's just a silly one. We've been in some more serious ones. I know Brother Andrew and my dad got in on some of that too. And something about going with my dad, you better be careful. But, you know, the Lord Sure is good. You know, you wouldn't give anything for those little troubles, right? Those divine appointments that God gives us along the way, because we see that He's there and He's with us all along. And I sure am glad that I don't have to do this alone. Now, He gave me a church and a wife and a family, and that means the world to you. But to know that He's with us, you know, when everything else falls apart, He's there. It means a lot to me. You know, I said something, I was preaching at church the other day. You know, it sure is good when God moves here, and I thank Him for it. He's moved in my heart this week. And it sure is good when the preacher preaches and He blesses my heart. And it sure is great when the people sing and He moves. But you know what's really good? When I'm just me and Him at my desk, or I'm just alone, and He comes in there and moves and speaks to me, and those tears start rolling, and the Holy Spirit, and I say, you know, He's good to me, you know. And I know He's good to all y'all. Maybe He's just showing up here this week on account of y'all. But when He just comes to me, you know, comes by my way, it sure means a lot to me. He said, hey, you're not in this thing alone. I'm with you. I'm very present help. So Paul said, hey, we're troubled, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, and not forsaken. Let's look at the last one. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down. To throw something by force means to be cast down. Some of us have been knocked down a few times. Amen? Sometimes things come in our lives, troubles and problems, and they knock us down. And sometimes it's hard to get up. Amen? Sometimes you say, Lord, what's happening here? I don't, you know, some of this stuff all happens at the same time, don't it? Troubled and perplexing and persecution. Cast down and said, Lord, what's going on here? But, you know, He said, hey, let's be clear about this. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Amen? Amen. Well, cast down is to get knocked down. But to be destroyed, that's to be demolished, annihilated. And you know one thing about the Bible tells me? Over there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Y'all know that verse. I've been half quoting some of them. I'm going to read one here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. You know this one. Jesus spake to him there. And, is that where I want to be? Yeah. And he said, talking to the disciples in those days, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, I may get knocked down in this life. You may come up here and hit me in the nose. I might get my nose broke, brother. It's happened before. That guy back here did it for me one time. But that's what brothers are for, you know. But now he's got that beard, but preacher was preaching about that. Anyways, I leave him alone. He's dead. He still might be. He could work me up when we were kids. But one day I got bigger. Thank God for our family, amen, for a brother. But to have a family that's serving God means the world to me. But to be cast down, we've all been cast down. We've all been knocked down. We've had troubles. But you know, they can't kill this soul, amen. They can kill the body. You know, maybe we get persecution part. Maybe they burn you at the stake, light you up. I don't know. Whatever they want to do. But you know, they're not going to do anything with this soul, amen. That belongs to the Lord. And February 9th, 1997, that's when I got born again in the family of God, amen. And from that day forward, that don't belong to them anymore. It don't belong to the world. It doesn't belong to the devil, it belongs to Him, amen? And I'm sealed until the day of redemption, and I'm in His hand, and my name's engraved there, and I'm not going to be able to be destroyed, amen? I've already read the end of the story, and I found myself there, amen? We're there, we're already seated in heavenly places, and He said, fear not them which kill the body, but fear them which kill the soul. You know, Apostle Paul knew something about it. Let's remember some of his resume real quick. Oh, I got 8 minutes. Or I got to give you all his money back or your pizza free. Hold on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 30 minutes or less, Brother Andrew. Your money back, Nancy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want 04. I want chapter 6 real quick. Turn your page there. Verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults and labors, in watchings and fasting. He's just no big deal, right? You know, if you and I are talking about this, we'd have a lot better story, you know. We could tell everybody how bad it was and how, and Paul just, you know, lists it out here. Then he goes on chapter 11 and gives you another good resume there. You know the verses there. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in washings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I mean, this guy's got trouble, amen. Now, you know, you think about Job, Apostle Paul went through it, didn't he? You know, he said, hey, he's been cast down. He's not destroyed. Amen. You know what? They even cook his head off, but you know, they still didn't destroy him. Amen. He's still there now in the presence of God. You know, we could be cast down, but not destroyed. Over in Exodus chapter 12, it was mentioned already this week, maybe about the death angel. The song was sung, I believe. But you know, the Bible talked about how that destroyer came through that night. And when that blood was on the door, we sing the song, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know? And if you're here today and that blood's been applied to your life, you've been born again by the grace of God, you have to never worry about destroyer coming by your way. Amen. You may get cast down and you may face some troubles, but when you do, you can just do what the Bible says, a just man falls down and rises up again. Amen. Get back up again. Just keep getting back up again. When you get troubled, what are you going to do? Obey His voice. Amen. Now, what are you going to do when you're perplexed? We're going to remember His words. What are you going to do when you're persecuted? You're going to stand on the promises of God. And what are we going to do when we get cast down? Well, we know we're not going to. This may be under physical death, but it's not under spiritual death. Amen. We're just going to keep getting back up again. He's going to knock us down. We'll get back up again. We'll get back up again. And one of these days, it's going to be the last getting up again. Amen. And we do. We're going to see Him face to face. Amen. And I pray in that day, He says, all right, welcome home. It's over with. Amen. Your troubles are done. And as we finish here back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll pull it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at, there's all kind of verses. Let's look at verse 16. He spoke about a lot of these things. Then he says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And as I read and studied these things some time ago, the Lord said, you know, that's what I'm trying to show you there. That troubling, perplexing, even that persecution, being knocked down. He said, that's all outward man stuff. But that inward man, he's never distressed. He's never in despair. He's never forsaken. He's never destroyed. Amen? And the Apostle Paul said in verse 17, for our light affliction. I think, man, that's a pretty good list I read in chapter 11 over there. For our light affliction. Well, that didn't seem very light to me. Well, it does in compared to far exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Amen? For our light affliction worketh, work which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light affliction. We are, but not. Amen. We may face some light affliction. We may face some trouble in this life. I'm sure you will, if you hadn't already. But when you do, I want you to remember the things that we talked about. I want you to get back in your book and remember God's Word. And that's how you're going to make it to the other side. Amen. You know, I can remember some troubles and things we had in our lives. And I can remember, you know, praying and crying and all that. And the Lord, how are we going to make it through this? And when I finally wise up enough to get the book out, amen, you know? Because, you know, I don't know how God speaks to you. Sometimes He speaks different ways, but predominantly He speaks through His Word, amen, you know? And when I got to reading His Word, you know, oh, Lord, can't find you anywhere. And He said, well, if you open your book, you can find me, you know? And this is the Word. And when I open that Word, and oh man, this verse is beginning to speak to you, and the Lord has just what you need to make it through this trial. And does that mean it's not hard? No, it's not. That doesn't mean it's not hard. But that means that the Lord speaks to you and ministers to you and meets with you and gives you just what you need. And you recognize, you know, we are, but we're not, you know. We are, but we're not. So I say today, if you're in trouble, obey His voice. If you're perplexed, remember His words. If you're persecuted, just stand on the promises. Amen. If you get cast down, just get back up again. Amen. 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 Blessed be.